Just as we come to communion, I just want to draw your attention to a passage in Mark's Gospel. If you want to turn to that, feel free. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. Back in the 70s, there was a, if you're old enough to remember, I know Veer is. if you're old enough to remember, there was a film that was out at the time called Close Encounters of a Third Kind. I don't know if anyone ever remembered that film. And apparently, a close encounter of the first kind is that you see lights in the sky and you say, ooh, what's that? It must be a UFO and it's a drone going over or something. Close encounters of the second kind is when it sort of crop circles on the ground and there's all these kind of weird manifestations. And did the farmer do it with a clever tractor? But close encounters of the third kind was you actually met an alien. And that was the whole premise of the film. So close encounters of the third kind was you met somebody that was completely different. But I just wanted to share, as we come to communion, there's a better encounter. There's a more lasting encounter, and it cannot be put in the bracket of science fiction because it's reality. It's Jesus Christ, our living Lord. And there's a woman in the Bible, very famous story, everyone knows it. Let me just read it to you because it's worth hearing. And Jesus went, and a great crowd followed him, and thronged to him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under the physicians and spent all that she had and was no better. But actually, she grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. This woman was focused on her problems, very much so. She had had this issue of blood, this bleeding issue, that had caused all kind of different stigmas to be attached to her. The fact that she was bleeding meant that she was cursed. It was an unclean thing that she was experiencing. She was a woman. And so she wasn't really seen as being a remarkable human being at the time. And she had gone through a lengthy period of trying to battle with illness. And if you battle with illness over long periods of time, you know that all the hopes you have for something better on the day that you're living are normally dashed the moment you open your eyes and you realize it's all still the same as yesterday. And you get this kind of root of expectation that nothing is ever going to be different. And I know someone who suffers with long-term illness, for myself, you wake up every morning and you think, it's not going to be different today than it was yesterday. And that can cause you to be very subdued and pressed down and almost crushed at times. And this woman would have experienced all of those kind of things. And she tried everything she possibly could to find healing. She'd spent all her money. She'd gone to every doctor. She had done everything she could. And it said that at the end of it, she was skint. She was no better. In fact, she was worse. And probably she was now incredibly depressed because nothing had changed. Maybe she hadn't remembered the proverb that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Maybe she hadn't realized that she had put her confidence in God. Healing might have been her portion at that time. But for her, it's what can I do to bring healing to myself? And we all live in that place. We can. We first think, oh, so what do I do? Well, I'm going to go to the doctor. Well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to sort this out. I'm going to really get focused, and I'm going to make myself feel better. or I'm going to try every medication known to man, I'm going to try every therapy known to man. But at the end of it, we still feel very much the same. So she had been attacking the problem from a human perspective, and she was left with just having to live with it. But then secondly, something else happened. She heard about Jesus. So she had been focused on her problems. She was choked with the worries of life. She had never got better by doing her own thing. Then she heard about Jesus. Now we know that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard about Jesus. What did she hear about Jesus? She heard that there was this man going about healing the sick. She heard that there was a man who was teaching extraordinary things about the kingdom of God. She heard that people were being healed. Maybe someone walked past and said, "Did you see the lame man at the pool of Bethesda? He got up and he walked. Never walked before in his life." Maybe she heard about blind Bartimaeus. Someone else walked past and said, "Do you remember Bartimaeus at the side of the road? Always blind, always begging. Suddenly this man Jesus came past and healed her." She heard about Jesus. Faith began to rise within her. You see, the name of Jesus does that. Faith rises within us at the name of Jesus. And we sang that song earlier, "I believe in you." Who do we believe in? Where are we placing our confidence? It's funny, you know, the name of Jesus has extraordinary power. Not just that his name is great, his name represents something so extraordinary that God came and made himself known in human flesh so as to take away the sins of the world. His name is the name that has all authority in heaven and on earth. It's his name. At his name, demons flee. At his name, we sing, the mountains shake and tremble. At his name. And his name means salvation. She heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, nothing could keep her from touching him. Luke says that just as Jesus was on his way through the crowds were pressing in, crushing up against him. She thought, "I've got to get to him." Now, her issue would have caused people to push her to one side. Lots of reasons why she shouldn't go to Jesus. Lots of reasons why she could stand from afar and say, "He's great, yes, he's great." But she knew she had to touch him. There had to be an encounter of a greater kind than just simply seeing him from afar. So she pressed through the crowd, pushed people aside. Maybe she got on her hands and knees and crawled underneath the feet of those that were getting in her way. Jesus was being consumed by the crowd. How could she possibly get close to him? And how did she get down to touch the hem of his garment? She probably got right down on her face. "I've got to get close to him. I'm going to find a way in there." She touched him because she believed in him. She believed there was power in the name of Jesus. An encounter was possible if only she could touch him. And you know, with our worship, at times we try to work it out. "Oh, am I going to get to God? Yeah, I'm not quite sure." All we're going to do is touch him. Touch him in worship. Touch him in prayer. Just simply say, "God, I believe in you. And I'm going to touch you in certain matters of my life. I want to make sure that I engage with you, not just the memory of you, not just the thought of you, not just the intellectual understanding of you. I want to touch you in reality. I want you to invade my life, invade this problem, invade this situation." Of course, Jesus, we know the famous statement, he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Everyone's touching you, Lord. What are you on about? What do you mean someone's touched you?" He knew there was a moment, an involuntary moment actually, where power went from him to that woman. You see, faith isn't just about getting his attention. "Look, he's looking at me. Hope something's going to happen." When we touch Jesus with faith, it's almost like there's an involuntary thing that happens. Power is released into our lives. It's not about, "Is this God's will for me?" It's simply, if we touch him in a particular way, if we touch him in worship with a devoted heart, saying, "God, I trust you with everything that I am," faith releases power into our situation that then produces healing and salvation. Sometimes we don't have to understand it all. We just simply need to believe him. Touch him. See what happens. And it was involuntary. He didn't say, "Stop, someone's touched me, I now need to act." No, he said, "No, power just went from me." something extraordinary happened. And then she suddenly became focused on a relationship with Jesus that was absolute. I wonder if the worship team would come up, just please. Thank you. And it says in verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. What does that mean? It simply means that when you encounter Jesus, your whole life gets exposed to him and nothing is hidden. You can't hide in his presence. And how often do we close ourselves off? You know, Jesus wouldn't like me if he saw what I was really like. But he sees what you really like anyway. Maybe you just need to admit what you really like. I have to every morning. I look in the mirror and I think that's a close encounter of the fourth kind. He knows what I'm really like. He knows what you're really like. And for this woman, all she could do was to say, this is me, Jesus. I've had a terrible life. I'm really broken. I'm really crushed. I've done everything I can. I can do nothing more. I've got nothing left in me. Only you can heal me. And at that moment, this interaction happened, and Jesus said more to her. So power had come from Jesus and touched her, and now he said this, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Be freed from your suffering. We're going to take communion together. And we're going to worship as we do so. It's been great that we've been able to pray with some already this morning. But as we're taking communion, we can often be a bit of a stroll up to the table and maybe have a bit of a natter with someone along the way. Maybe pick someone up along the way and say, come and do it with me. That's great, and I love that. But this is a real opportunity this morning for each one of us just to be honest to Jesus. Maybe to put the things down within us that we carry. Maybe it's time for us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We don't know how he's going to heal. We don't know how he's going to set us free. We don't know the answer to those questions. If we did, we probably wouldn't be better off for knowing. It's better that it happens and we rejoice. We don't know, but what we do know is that he is faithful. He is true. His name is the name above every name. And at his name, every knee will one day bow and tongue confess that he's the Lord. And when we touch him, we know if it's done with all our heart, he cannot help but pour out his love and healing to us. So as we come this morning, Jesus gave us this. There are several things in the Bible that we have to remember the salvation that we have and what God's done for us. Baptism is one of those, and we would love to baptize those who are not yet baptized. But he also gave us this. But he gave us an image. And he said, this is my body, representative, and it's given for you. You know, earlier on he said that I'm the bread of life. If you feed on me, you'll never be hungry. Think of that for a moment. What does that mean to you? If you feed on him, you'll never be hungry. And he said, this also represents a body that's about to be torn apart for you. It's going to hang on a cross for you so I can carry all your pain and all your brokenness. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, when you do this, remember me. We all carry photographs on our phones of the people we love, or once upon a time it used to be in our wallets and on our walls. He's given us a photograph that's long-lasting, doesn't fade in the sun. It doesn't get lost in a house move. It's a photograph that lasts forever. Remember me, he said, when you do this. And then he took a cup, and it was representative of his blood that was about to be shed, because we know that he was the sacrifice lamb. He was the one and only way to find freedom from our sins. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Once upon a time, you had to do this every year. You had to shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins. But now this is a once and for all deal. And he lifted it before his father. He said, my blood shed for you. Father, I thank you. I thank you that this blood will cleanse and heal all who call on my name. This blood is the assurance of so much more to come. This blood gives us confidence that when I'm going through the most rubbish of days, I can turn to him and find forgiveness. This is the blood that matters the most. And he gave thanks to his father, then he shared it with his disciples. One cup shared together. And this morning, just as the woman pressed in and touched the hem of his garment, found release and freedom, confessed all, bore her life before Jesus and said, this is me, I'm empty, I've got nothing left. In the same way, when you come this morning, take this as we worship, then you too can open your heart to him again. So this is me, Lord, I'm here again. You know my weaknesses. Help me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. I've spent everything I've got. I haven't got an ounce of energy left to deal with the things I have to deal with. But you, O Lord, are the one who can grant me total healing and freedom. The beauty was they shared it together. It's a communal meal. It demonstrated that not only was there hope in him, but their hope was also in being family, as we heard this morning. We're joined through this to one another. And as we share this, it's not just, yes, we remember him, but we also stand with one another. It's two things. You never stand alone like the woman with the blood, fighting her way to the hem of his garment. You stand with friends who will help you get there. Because we're God's family.